Well, amen. Thank the Lord for the wonderful music we've had this morning, all right? God's been so good to us, and good to see you here on this Sunday morning. Thank you for getting out of bed on a cold morning in Florida and coming to Westside Baptist Church. Glad that you're here. I want to ask you to take your Bible and turn with me to the little book called 2 Timothy. Would you find 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning? 2 Timothy chapter 3. While you're turning there, let me give you a brief commercial message concerning Wednesday night. I want to invite you to join us on Wednesday nights at 6:30. We have lots of activities that go on, and you can look on our website, or you can look at the bulletin that's on the website, and it'll tell you all that's going on. But one of the things that's happening on Wednesday nights is we gather here in this room, for those who are not working with the youth or children or preschool, etc. But we gather for a time of worship. And last Wednesday night, I began preaching through the little book called Philippians. And we just got a couple of verses down the road. So I want to invite you, if you're not working with children or preschool or youth or something like that, join us here in this room on Wednesday night at 6:30 as we look at this great little book called Philippians. Philippians is that little book that has words in it like this: "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Philippians is that book that has words like, when Jesus comes, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Philippians is that little book that has phrases like, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." So it is a wonderful book. And so I want to encourage you to join us on Wednesday nights as we look at that little book. However, this morning I'm back in 2 Timothy. I began preaching through 2 Timothy, and during Christmas and New Year's, I've taken a break from that. But I'm back there this morning, and I'm in chapter 3, verse 1. Would you join me in standing, please, for just a moment? I promise it'll be just a moment, because I want to read one verse of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says this: "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. I want to share a little message with you this morning that I call "Welcome to the Last Days." I want to welcome you to the last days. Would you pray with me? Father, today, thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to be in this place and to worship you. God, thank you for every person who has come, those who are in this building, those who are watching online, those who are listening by radio. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word will take root in the hearts and minds of those who will listen today. God, help us to hear what you have to say. Help us do what you ask us to do. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I heard the story years ago of a little boy who late one night was unable to sleep. It was approaching midnight, and he was there wide awake. And in the adjoining room was the old grandfather clock, and as we oftentimes do, it would chime at the top of the hour, and he, in trying to go to sleep, he began to count the chimes. And he counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. It got the little boy's attention. He jumped out of bed. He ran into the adjoining room where his mom and dad were asleep. And he said these words to them. He said, "Wake up, wake up. It's later than it's ever been." Of course, the old grandfather clock was wrong, but the little boy was right. It's later than it's ever been. And I talked to you tonight, this morning, about the last days. There are a lot of people today who are asking the question and trying to answer the question of whether or not we are living in the last days. If you were to ask that question, are we living in the last days, to an environmentalist, many of them would say, well, yes, we are. Because the world is kind of like a large clock that has been wound up and it's winding down. Some would say things like, we have so abused the natural resources of our planet. The environment is in such bad shape that our world cannot last much longer. If you were to ask the annihilationist today, he would answer that question by saying, yes, we are living in the last days, because we're also living in a day while everybody's talking about peace, people are preparing for war. And we're devising what we commonly call today weapons of mass destruction that could wipe life out on the entire planet just like that. It is, many of them would say, yes, we are living in the last days. I would add that to that today, that if you were to ask many biblicists, they would also answer the question and say, yes, we're living in the last days. And they would point to writings like a prophet by the name of Daniel and things that he said concerning the last days. They would probably point to John the Revelator, who wrote the last book in your Bible called the Revelation, and say, yes, we're living in the last days. They might even point to the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, when he talked about in the last days that there would be famines and there would be pestilence and there would be earthquakes. And so they would say, yes, we're living in the last days. I say all that this morning to say this. I have been preaching through 2 Timothy. I've found my way to chapter 3, and when you come to 2 Timothy chapter 3, I think you have here the most extensive teaching in all of Scripture of what it will be like during the last days. And in the next few weeks, I'm going to be spending some time here in these verses, but this morning I'm only in the very first verse of chapter 3. I remind you that 2 Timothy was penned by the Apostle Paul. He's in prison in Rome. He's in a dungeon. It's dark. It's damp. He's awaiting execution. And he's writing to his young protege, a young preacher boy by the name of Timothy, which this is his second letter. He's encouraging young Timothy. But when you come to chapter 3, there is a marked change in what he's been saying. In the earlier chapters, he had said to Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel or to be ashamed of the Apostle Paul. In the earlier chapters, he had said to him that you need to be an approved workman, not ashamed. He also said that you ought to be a vessel of honor. And so he's been very personal to Timothy in trying to encourage him. But when you come to chapter 3, he flips the page. And he says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I want us to look at that one verse of Scripture today, and if you will allow me to, I just want to take it apart for just a little bit, because that lays the groundwork of everything else that will follow in the next several verses. And I know that many of you are familiar with the next several verses, but I'm going to ask you this morning, please don't get ahead, don't read ahead. Focus with me for just a few moments on this one statement. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I want to first of all talk about the certainty of the last days. I said I want to take it apart, so we just look at this little phrase this morning. Paul said, this know also. What Paul is saying to young Timothy was, I am absolutely certain that what I am about to say is absolutely true. This know also. It reminds me a little bit of the way that Jesus would speak from time to time, especially in the Gospel of John. You may recall that we would also oftentimes preface something of significance that he wanted to say with these words, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." The words mean, "Surely, surely, I say unto you. Truly, truly, I say unto you." Jesus was saying, what I'm about to say is absolutely true. Paul picks up on that same kind of mentality when he says, "This know also." I like the little word know, K-N-O-W. It translates a Greek word that means to come to know, to recognize, to understand. The New American Standard Translation says, "Realize this." Another translation says, "Understand this." The New International Translation says it like this. I like this. "Mark this down." The Message, which is not a translation but a paraphrase, starts it like this. It says, "Don't be naive." I want to say to you this morning, there's something that we all need to understand. There's something that we need to recognize. There's something that we need to come to know. We don't need to be naive about what he's about to say, because Paul was saying, what I'm about to say is not a possibility. It is a certainty. These are some things that you ought to know. These are some things that you ought to realize and things that you ought to understand. I've said this many times from this pulpit. I will say it till the day that I die. You do not need human speculation when you have divine revelation. And what Paul is about to say is divine revelation. This is not the opinion that you will watch on the news or hear on the street. He says, "This know also." Humor me for just a moment. The word "know" is a common Bible word. I'll give you several instances for just a moment, and there's a reason for this. Jesus used that word in Matthew chapter 24, verse 43. Listen to what he said. "But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. But know this," Jesus said. Paul used it when he wrote to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He said, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them." There it is. "Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." There are some things that the natural man, the unsaved man, he said, that he cannot know. John used it in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. He said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." I like this. "That you may know that you have eternal life." My dear friend, you can know that you have eternal life. You can be certain that you have eternal life. You don't have to walk through life saying, "Man, I hope I'm saved. I think I'm going to heaven." That is, you can know that you're going to heaven. And Paul picks up on that same little word, K-N-O-W, and says, "This know also." And then he goes on and talks about several things that will happen that will identify the last days. Here's what he means, and I'll just get ahead of myself for just a little bit. If you know that in the last days, there will be those who are, in verse 3, despisers of those that are good, you will not be surprised that those who hold biblical values will be hated in the last days. If you know that in the last days that there will be those who, in verse 5, have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, you will not be surprised by the fake preachers and the phony religionists who masquerade today as Christians. If you know that in the last days, chapter 4, verse 3, that people will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, then you will not be surprised whenever people will leave Bible-believing churches to go to other churches where they feel good about their sin. That is, Paul was saying, there's some things that are coming down the road that if you will know this, you will not be surprised. As a matter of fact, there are some times in the world that I live in today that when I watch the news or I look at my cell phone, I hear what somebody says, I just have to kind of smile on the inside because I think, you know, Paul said, these days would surely come. And so we're talking about these last days. To underline that, let me tell you a story I read in a commentary by a man by the name of Kent Hughes. I like to read Kent's books because he has great insight into Scripture sometimes. But he tells the story of a group of believers who were kicked out of their church. Listen to what I'm saying. It is a group of believers who were kicked out of their church. And the reason why they were kicked out of their church was because their pastor denied the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Their pastor denied the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Their pastor was actually an active pedophile. The leadership in the church knew that he was and covered it up. And these believers in that church, whenever they spoke up against what was happening among their pastor and their leaders and their church, they were accused of being divisive in the church, and they were kicked out of the church. Not the pastor, not the leaders, but those who believed in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and took a stand for morality. They were the ones who were kicked out of the church. Welcome to the last days. Unfortunately, that's the world that we live in. Paul said, this know also. Secondly, look at this, the context of the last days. Paul said, this know also, another phrase, that in the last days. I probably should have done this at the very beginning, but we need to really know what we're talking about as far as the last days. What are the last days? And if you know your Bible, you'll know that that phrase is found several times in your scripture. Sometimes it's the last day, sometimes the latter days, but it's found several times in your Bible. And if you will once again humor me for just a moment, I want to share with you some scriptures where you'll find that phrase, the last days. Genesis chapter 49 verse 1. I'm going way back now, right? Genesis 49 verse 1, the Bible says, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. As a matter of fact, that's the first time in your Bible that the phrase last days is found. It is a reference to something that's going to happen in the very near future among Jacob's sons. So he says to them, there are some things that will befall you in the last days. Let me give you another one. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. The old prophet Isaiah said this, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and he shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2, and Isaiah is talking about the last days. Now whenever Isaiah used that phrase, he was talking about the coming day of the Messiah's kingdom, as sometimes referred to by prophecy scholars as the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, when the Bible says he will reign on the earth in the future for 1,000 years. So he uses the phrase, though, to describe it, calling it the last days. Let me give you a third one. Daniel chapter 2, verse 28. Daniel says, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. That is, God revealed to King Nebuchadnezzar one night, he had a king-sized dream while he was sleeping on his king-sized bed, and God showed him the future of everything from ancient Babylon to the end-time Babylon that's found in the book of the Revelation, and he called it the latter days. Humor me for just a moment. Chapter 2 of the book of Acts, the fourth scripture, verses 16 and 17 on the day of Pentecost. Peter stood up and said, "But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams." And so whenever the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, this is a prophecy that was fulfilled by Joel, that in the last days that these sort of things would happen. So he was talking about the beginning of the church age, that whenever the Holy Spirit comes and the church of Jesus Christ is born. He's talking about a period between Pentecost and the second coming of Jesus Christ. He called it the last days. Hang with me for just a moment. There is a point to this, all right? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says this, "God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." He was talking about the time whenever Jesus Christ was on the earth and he taught the people. He called it the last days. One more, I promise. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, John said, "Little children, it is the last days. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." And whenever John wrote that, he was talking about the day of the apostles, a day whenever John himself was still alive. He said, "Little children, it is the last day." So whenever Paul picks up the pen, and Paul says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." What did Paul mean when he talked about the last days? Well, he didn't mean the time that Jacob talked about in Genesis. Whenever he used the term last days, he was talking about something that's coming in the very near future. I don't think he was talking even about what we read also whenever Daniel here was talking about, whenever Isaiah was talking about the time of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. He's not talking about that time. It seems to me that whenever Paul said, "This know also, in the last days," he was referring to a period of time between the first coming and the second coming of Jesus Christ. I think he was referring to a time that we could also maybe narrow it down a little bit more, that a period of time between the ascension of Jesus Christ when he went back to be with the Father until the time that Jesus returns to come back to take his church home. He's talking about a period of time that sometimes is called the church age. What I'm saying to you, he was talking about the time that you and I are living in right now. That's why I say to you, welcome to the last days, because we are living in the last day. There will come a time when this day will come to an end. As I understand my Bible, the next great event on God's prophetic calendar is whenever Jesus Christ will come again in the air, in the clouds, and call his church home. Paul said it like this, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." And whenever that day comes, that will bring the church age to a close. And Paul knew that we were living in the last days. As a matter of fact, Paul believed that he was going to be alive when Jesus Christ comes again. That's why he said, "And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up." Paul believed he was going to be alive when Jesus comes back. Of course, that didn't happen, but I will tell you this. That should be the mentality of every generation of believers in Jesus Christ, that we believe this is the day that Jesus Christ is going to come again. And I can mark this down. The old little boy was right whenever he counted the old strikes on the grandfather clock. I'm going to say this to you today. It's later than it's ever been before. I can say to you with all confidence, and I think I can say to you with all accuracy, we have never been closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ than we are right now. And somebody would say, "Well, where are we on this calendar? Where are we on the last days?" Well, as that clock continues to tick, we get closer and closer to the very end of what is known as the last days. Maybe the best way for me to describe it is an old story. When I was a much younger pastor, and I pastored much smaller churches, sometimes we would want to show a video, primarily usually on a Sunday night. Some of you may grew up and have grown up in churches where you did that. And you know, you remember how that worked? I remember how it worked because I was the pastor and custodian and everything else that needed to be done. But whenever we wanted to show a video in church in those days, young people, y'all need to hear this. In those days, the video was on this big reel. And I was a pastor. I'd go get a table and I would set it up out there in the middle aisle. I would get a projector and I'd put that projector on top of that table. I would get a long extension cord. I would take it over to that projector and I would set it all up. And what you would do was you'd take that reel that had the video on it and then you would weave it through the projector and you'd put it on that other reel and then you'd turn it on. You have a big screen up here and it would just start playing that video. And you play it until the very, very end. Some of y'all remember what I'm talking about? But my point is, when the movie was over and everybody went home, it was my job because you had to put the video back on the reel that it came off of. So I would go and I would get the reel, the video's on this reel, I had to put it back on that. So I had to thread it back on there and I'd reverse it and it would start then putting it back on the reel. And I'll tell you this, it was a slow process. And sometimes people would stay around and talk to me, and sometimes they wouldn't, sometimes it'd just be me. I'd turn it on and it'd be a very slow process of putting that tape back on that reel. But listen to what I'm saying. As that thing went further and further and further, and it was coming off of this other reel over here, it was going faster and faster and faster. And if you're not paying attention, when it come to the very end, that tape would go flying off of that reel. This is what I'm trying to say to you today. We are living in the last days. And it seems like it's been going slow and slow and slow. But I'm going to tell you, friend, it's getting faster and faster and faster. And one of these days, it's going to come fly. It's not going to fly off of the reel. What's going to happen is God's children are going to fly off of the planet to go and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in the last day. Listen to me. We're living in a day where now we have 8 billion people on the planet. 8 billion people on the planet. And for people like me, things are going way too fast. When I look at the technology that we're living in, friend, listen, I can't keep up. Just about the time I think I have the latest, the best, the finest, something else comes out and I'm antique. And by the way, the young people, those on my staff, those that I hang around with, they like to make fun of me. The younger generation makes fun of me. Some of you older people know what I'm about to say. They make fun of me because I don't understand all the modern technology. But listen to what I'm going to say to you. I do know how to write in cursive. I can make change without a calculator. And for you young people, I could wipe out half of your generation with one jar of peanuts. So don't make fun of us old people just because we don't understand something. But I'm telling you, it's fact. By the way, and the morality, or should I say the immorality? Friend, it's like a snowball rolling downhill. How in the world did we get to where we're getting? I'm simply saying to you, things are gonna, when the Bible talks about these last days, it's going faster and faster and faster. And one day, very soon, the Bible says that Jesus Christ will come and he will split the eastern sky. There will be a shout. There'll be the voice of the archangel. There'll be the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we're gonna fly off of this planet and go with beat Jesus Christ. Welcome to the last days. One last thing, and I'll say this quickly. Not only do we find the certainty of the last days and the context of the last days, notice the crises of the last days. Again, we're still in verse 1. Paul said, "This know also, that in the last days," and we know that we're living in the last days, listen to what he said, "perilous times shall come." Whenever Paul was looking for a word to describe with one word what the last days would be like, he used the word perilous. It is a Greek word that means dangerous. It means difficult. It means hard to bear. It means hard to deal with. In the last days, he said, it's going to be very difficult days, things that are going to be hard to deal with. I found it interesting that there's only one other time in your Bible that the word is found that's translated perilous here in my text. And that's in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. This is the only other time. It's not translated perilous here, but listen to what it says. Matthew 8, 28 says this, "And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way." Some of you recall that story. It is a story of some gospel writers just talk about one. Here, Matthew talked about there were two of them. But whenever you read about him, we oftentimes call this man the Gadarene maniac. And that's exactly what it meant when he said he came out of the tombs exceeding fierce. The word translated fierce in Matthew 8:28 is the same word that is translated perilous in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. What he was saying was he was a fierce man. He was a strong man. He was a wild man. And what he was saying was the day that we're living in the last days, he said they will be fierce times. There'll be strong, wild times. This know also in the last days, perilous. Don't leave me. Times shall come. Times is a word that means perilous seasons. You can translate it perilous eras, perilous periods. That is, he said there are going to be some times where it's going to be, there are going to be some seasons where it's going to be very difficult days. What he means is that there will be times of peril followed by times of peace. There'll be times of terror followed by times of tranquility. There'll be perilous times. It's not that the entire time is going to be perilous, but there'll be seasons that will come. There'll be a hard time and then a good time, a hard time and a good time. But what Paul was saying was, as time goes on, there will be more and more perilous times and less and less peaceful times. You hear what I'm saying? What he was saying was it's going to become more frequent that there will be more times of terror than there will be of tranquility. That's why later on in this same little book, verse 13, chapter 3, Paul said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." What he was saying, it's going to get worse and worse. You talk about crisis, there's going to be one crisis after another crisis. Does that sound somewhat like the world that we live in today? Listen, I'm old enough to remember the Cuban Missile Crisis. That's what we called it, right? It was the Cuban Missile Crisis. I remember the crisis in Waco whenever David Koresh refused to surrender. I remember the crisis, and by the way, that's the term the news gives all the time, right? The crisis in the heartland, they called it, whenever Timothy McVeigh took a Ryder truck, parked it in front of the Murrah building in downtown Oklahoma City and blew up that building. I remember what they called the Columbine crisis. Y'all remember that? Whenever Eric Harris and Dylan Klebo began shooting their classmates there in Columbine. I also remember what was called the crisis in the Big Apple whenever Islamic terrorists flew airplanes into the Twin Towers. And how many times have we, through the years, had the news commentators come on and say, there's a crisis in the Middle East. It's like a large pot that's boiling and could boil over at any moment. What he was saying was, he said there's going to be crisis after crisis after crisis after crisis. Now, I'm not trying to discourage you today. I'm just simply saying to you, this is what Paul said. He said, you need to know this. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. As a matter of fact, the word of God would say to us, friends, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse. Welcome to the last days. And you may be sitting there today thinking, well, what should I do? How do I respond to perilous times, difficult times? Well, I thought of a lady. Her name is Ruth Jones. She wrote a song back in 1944. And you think about that date, 1944. She wrote a song. By the way, Ruth Jones was a housewife. She was just an everyday lady, but she came from a musical family. And she wrote a song in 1944 at the height of World War II. Perilous times. And she wrote these words. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Then she said, in times like these, you need a Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And then she spelled out exactly what she was trying to say when she said, this rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the only one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very, very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In perilous times, you need a Savior. In perilous times, you need a Bible. And whenever you hear Paul say this, know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. You need to be very sure. Are you listening? You need to be very, very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. You say, how do I do that, Pastor? Man, I've had the privilege of sharing this little simple outline so many times. But if you'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior. I'm not sure that I've been anchored to Him, but I'd like to be. What do I need to do? Four statements and I'm done. If you want to make sure that you'll survive in the last days, number one, you need to realize you're a sinner. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, you need to recognize that Jesus Christ is God's Son, who died on a cross and rose from the dead for your sin. Number three, you need to repent of your sin. Have a change of mind that will result in a change of heart and a change of eternity. Repent, turn away from your sin. And number four, receive Jesus as your Savior. How do you do that? You just say to Him, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive my sin, be my Savior today. And my dear friend, if you'll do that, then you will be anchored in Jesus Christ. And no matter what the perilous times might bring, you know that whenever all is said and done, that you're going home to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for a word of prayer? I think the words of that little boy are very appropriate this morning. And I would say to some of you in this room, I'll say to all of you in this room, wake up. It's later than it's ever been. And today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never had that experience when you ask Him to forgive your sin and be your Savior, do that today. Father, we thank You for bringing us to this moment. Lord, for some people in this room today, eternity hangs in the balance. It will be determined by what they do with Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray for every man and woman, every boy and girl, that today that You'd let them know that You love them and that You want to save them. And we pray today, Lord, that there will be those in this room who'll open up the door of their heart and place their faith in You. Father, I pray for those who know You as their Savior, but yet there are things in their lives that do not line up with Your word or Your will. Lord, show us what You want us to do. Father, there are those in this room today who've been saved, but they've never been baptized. They've never taken that first step that says, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I pray that this will be their day to come and say, I'm ready to let the whole world know that Jesus is my Savior. Father, there are some in this room today who are looking for a church home. You've brought them to this place today. And God, if You say to them today, this is where You want them to join, I pray that they would come today as well. So Lord Jesus, speak, help us to hear and to obey. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you join me in standing?